Thank you very much indeed for your kind invitation to share with you some elements of our mission to the Czech Republic. I'm a born Czech. I grew up in Czechoslovakia under communism. I didn't like the system. I fled the communist system 25 years ago and went to Germany. I was an atheist. I was an evolutionist. I was a worldling. I didn't hear anything about God in my first 30 years of my life. I really didn't meet any Christian who would witness to me or would tell me the gospel. So the Lord had to take me a long way to hear the gospel for the first time in the West. So I had to flee and go to the West and hear the gospel in the West. There I met Nicola. She was my English teacher, and she witnessed to me about her faith. I didn't trust my ears. I really couldn't believe that somebody in the modern world and Western world and could believe in God. God didn't exist for me, as he doesn't to hardly anybody in the whole Czech Republic. The Czech Republic is an atheist country. People don't believe even in the existence of God. And of course they don't believe in personal relationship to Jesus Christ and have really nothing to do with Christianity. They are biblically ignorant, uneducated. It's a wasteland. It is a white spot on the spiritual map of the world. I would even say that the Czechs are the most atheistic nation in the world. So there is a lot to do in that country. But I would like to share with you, first of all, not very long, but I would like to tell you my testimony. So I met Nicola in Germany. She taught their English and she told me about Christ. And I gave her a hard time because I just honestly couldn't believe what she believed. I didn't believe that the Bible would be the Word of God and would be the standard for our faith and practice in life. So it took her a long time, almost a year, to persuade me to read in the Bible. I actually, to start with, didn't want to read it at all, because I couldn't believe the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I said, look, I just don't believe this. I'm an evolutionist. And if I've got the first, if I don't believe in the first Adam, how can I believe in the second Adam? If I don't believe that God exists and that he created everything, how can I believe the rest of the Bible? So she took an opportunity and invited me to a creationist lectures given by Professor Werner Gitt. You might know him from the Creation magazine, and his books have been translated into English as well. And this man, 20 years ago, gave a series of lectures about creation and the logical conclusion would be that there is God. He showed the wonders of creation. He said there can't be any accidents. There are everything is planned, everything is a perfect order, everything in creation is has got a purpose and perfect design. And this Werner Gitt just destroyed within a week my evolution. He was so persuasive, so convincing. So then I told Nicola, okay, I believe God exists and He created all around us. He created even us. Bring the Bible back and we will read together. So that's how it started. Nicola left Germany because her contract ran out, and I just promised to her I would continue reading in the Bible and would continue going to Bible studies, and so I did. And about half a year later, I could report to her that God changed me. I was so drawn by to find the truth, to understand more of the Bible. And God was very gracious. He really drew me. There was supernatural power to draw me back to every Bible study again and again. And God opened my eyes and my heart for His Word. He really saved me after half a year later. I could report to Nicola that I became a Christian, and half a year later, we felt really led by God to marry, although we didn't spend much time together at all. We didn't see each other for the following year. And then, I just want the young people to listen now, we didn't have any time to try things and to be together and to talk through things together. We just knew God was leading us together, and He would bless our marriage, even if we didn't know really each other at all. And I flew then to England one Friday evening, and 3 days later on Monday we got married. And that was we did get married in trust that God would protect our marriage, and He does, and that happened 19 years ago. We've got 4 children, and we try to bring them up to the glory of God and teach them the Bible and teach them to live in faith and to trust our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was my testimony. I would like to tell you now about our mission, or start about the mission. We started in Germany already. With Nicola, we came back to Germany and joined a church there. We married in 1988, and 1 year later, there was this velvet revolution where the communism fell and the borders opened, and we took the opportunity straight away and went almost every weekend to the Czech Republic, to Czechoslovakia then, and distributed tracts with a voucher for free Christian literature. And we went from town to town and went from letterbox to letterbox and put our vouchers to every letterbox in those towns. We visited in this way within 3 years 130 different places. Prague was just one of them. And within 3 years we got replies from 900,000 distributed tracts. We got 30,000 replies for Christian literature. I gave up my job as a programmer and spent a year just packing up Bibles and New Testaments and other Christian literature, and sending them to the Czech Republic from Germany and replying to letters. So that was the beginning, and we felt more and more drawn to the Czech Republic. We somehow thought the churches there would take over. They are not many, but the few we knew, we thought they would take those seekers and care for them, do the follow-up work. But they didn't. And so we saw the will of God, and we just weren't sure, should we go back to the Czech Republic? But after a while, we realized, we really felt very much called to go to the country. The key verse, the key Bible verse for this call, there was a stamp of on our seeking His will. I read that verse in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. I would like to read it to you. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. When I read this verse, I felt strong responsibility for my fellow countrymen. I just felt if we don't tell them, nobody will tell them. If we don't go there, we would be responsible for their spiritual fall. And so 8 years after the Velvet Revolution, we reached the point that we moved to the Czech Republic. We moved to Liberec. It's a town in the very north of the Czech Republic, quite near the border to Germany and Poland. It's a large town. It's a town where I was born, where I never wanted to go back to, because I didn't have a very happy childhood there. There was a very strong pollution there, and it was an industrial town, and I just didn't want to take my children to a place where they would suffer the same illnesses and breathing problems and coughs and health problems throughout their childhood. But then we heard a sermon about by Peter Masters from Metropolitan Tabernacle, where he talked about missionaries wanting to go to nice places only. So again, we were somehow, we got bad conscience that we wouldn't go to the town where I know the situation and where it is not very pleasant. So we were open for Liberec as well. And God really led us to Liberec. We ended up in Liberec. All my worries, God cared for that as well. There is actually no pollution anymore, so we don't have any breathing problems. There used to be a very bad climate there, always raining, sorry about that. But it's changed as well. When the industry is gone, the climate changed as well. So we've got really nice climate there, warm summers, but very hot and cold winters with weeks and months with minus 20 and meter or 2 meters of snow. So we are in Liberec. There are 100,000 people to reach, and we believe God has got people in this town. There is a university as well, where Nicola started teaching English. I think I would stop at this point and call my wife to tell you about the work we are doing there. And she would tell you also about our first convert, which is really worthwhile knowing about. Thank you for listening.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I'd like to tell you something about the work, and perhaps I can begin by telling you something about the spiritual atmosphere. Stenick has already said that over 70% of people don't believe in God at all. And as the scripture says, righteousness exalts a nation. And when there are no people who believe in God, it really is a society where every man is for himself. There's not a great deal of kindness. People are very suspicious of one another. It's not like Ulster, what we have known of Ulster. Even people who may not be born again believers are just very open and friendly and courteous. This is something that we have missed in the society where we live. That people are not necessarily very helpful. People under communism used to inform on each other. So you couldn't speak openly with your neighbours. You couldn't tell people anything. You couldn't confide in them because you didn't know who you were talking to. You didn't know if somebody was going to inform the authorities on you. In every little community, they had certain people who were watching you, who were passing on every little bit of information. And this suspicious mindedness has infected the whole of society, that from the top to the bottom, people are not open, they're not willing to really trust you at the beginning. So we have found that we have to be very cautious. We have to let our lives speak as well as our words. We are very open about what we believe, but we have to be very careful that our doctrine and our lives, there is a perfect overlap, as it were. So we struggle very hard to really honour the Lord in everything that we do, because we know that we are being watched very, very closely by our neighbours. What we found perhaps hardest at the beginning was the extreme reluctance of the people to even meet you, or people won't come into your homes for a cup of tea. They don't know that. They are very cautious about having contact with your children or their children having contact with your children. If you're known to be religious, being religious is a very bad word. It's very negative because religious people, they believe, are brainwashed. And they're out to brainwash you. They're out to get your money. The media, of course, has hyped this up as well. But generally, and this is no exaggeration, it would be as if you say we are all paedophiles. That's the way people treat you. They keep their distance from you. If you say you want to teach children about the Lord, about Sunday school, this was something that we hadn't expected when we came. We've been recruiting. We continue to recruit children for Sunday school. But the attitude is a very negative one. People are very, very hostile to you teaching their children anything about God because they believe that God doesn't exist and you are actually mentally abusing children to teach them that there is a God. So we found that this has affected not only ourselves but affected our children as well. People are not very happy about their children having contact with our children because our children are known to be children of religious people. So that was something that we found very, very hard at the beginning. We didn't realise just quite how antagonistic people are towards the Christian faith. They are ignorant. They are also willingly ignorant. They don't want to know. They'd rather, say, live with the devil that they know than something that they don't know. So people are not curious, yet they do watch us. They watch us very closely, and as we've been witnessing, as Stenick's been witnessing in his work, we're a self-supporting mission, he has many, many opportunities each day to talk to people about the Lord, about the law of the Lord, about God's judgment, the coming judgment. There is a great deal of corruption in society from the top to the bottom. People don't believe they will be accountable to anyone at the end of the day. They don't believe there's a heaven. They don't believe there's a hell. And so you get what you can today. The materialistic ideology of the past, communism, has affected the way people believe today. They believe that everything you see, that's it. There's nothing beyond what you see, and I've got to make the most of it at the moment. People work generally very hard just to keep their families going, and they don't have time to think about what comes next. If you ask most people what comes next, they say, you die, and that's it. So people don't talk and think about the future, think about anything beyond what we can see and hear. So we witness to people, particularly Zdeněk. Amidst the corruption, we seek to shine as lights, as the Bible says, in a dark place. And because it is such a dark place, we're thankful to the Lord that He enables us to shine in our deeds. Very often, the things that we do, the way that we behave in relating to other people, it costs. It's costly. And people wonder, well, why do it? You're losing out if you do things that way. You're losing out if you pay your taxes and don't try and fiddle the bills. Well, we tell them, Zdeněk tells them, the Lord sees. There is a God, and He does see, and He's making a note of everything. The argument comes back again, well, if I don't steal, they'll steal for me, the ones at the top. They're corrupt as well. And Zdeněk is able to talk to these people about the judgment coming upon the rulers of the country as well. So people will listen and start thinking. And as we say, we know that people are watching us. So we have many opportunities to witness in our deeds and in our words. We do actually run a Sunday school. We have a grand total of 10 children after 8 years. Now, this may not seem very much at all, but those children are very precious to us. We do so long for more children to come. But this is a great, great hurdle to get people even crossing the threshold to our meetings, either at Sunday school or our evangelistic Bible studies. People just are afraid. There's a great deal of fear because those that are active in society are the sects. The Jehovah's Witnesses are there. Mormons are there. Some charismatic groups have taken people's money and promised them healing and haven't fulfilled their promises. So people are disillusioned, those that were seeking something more than just the here and now. People also see the Roman Catholic Church. The Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia or even Bohemia, as it was called in the past, you may have heard of John Huss. It was a Protestant country, but the Reformation was really stamped out and there was a process of the Catholic Church taking over power again, political power. And this is the church that people see. They see the Roman Catholic Church, they see the pomp, the ceremony, the theatre. And particularly young people say, well, that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. So younger people are turning to occult phenomena, witchcraft, all sorts of things because they do have this eternity, this longing for something more when they see their parents working hard and they think there must be something more. So they turn to drugs, they turn to transcendental experiences. But Christianity, they associate with the Roman Catholic Church. So there's really one obstacle after another. And you really sometimes wonder, well, where do we begin? Well, we seek to be obedient to the Lord and be faithful and keep calling. We keep inviting children. We keep speaking to their parents. We seek to witness through our deeds as well, through our children at school. There are opportunities for our children to speak at school. Right from the very beginning about creation as opposed to evolution. And I'd like to just give you one example about the Lord's sovereign grace in drawing one individual towards Himself. As Zdeněk said earlier, we do believe, as Paul said when he came to Corinth, that the Lord has many people in the city. We do believe that in the city of Liberec there are the Lord's people. There are those for whom Christ has died. There are the elect there, and we seek to keep calling them. And in this one example, I'd like to show you a young girl who the Lord had been working in her life over a period of time, and she was ready to hear the gospel. And this is our first convert, as I say, after 8 years. There is one person that's come to the Lord through His gracious dealings with her. And this is a young lady called Veronica. She's 24 now. She was converted
3 years ago.
3 years ago, she was solidly converted by the Lord. She came to our front door. She was actually introduced by the librarian who we'd got talking to, who wanted to learn English from me. And this librarian brought along Veronica, who also wanted to learn English. Well, the English was soon laid aside, and we were talking about spiritual matters. And Veronica, we discovered, was a very lost individual in every sense of the word. Her mother had died when she was 17. And she had taken off around Europe. She went around traveling by train with young people, groups of young people who were basically into the dark arts, a crowd of young people who were drug addicts. Everything that they did, because she was looking for something more. She really had burned her candle at both ends and was on the verge of suicide. She had several times said she'd wanted to end her life, but something had kept her back. She didn't know what, but she felt that she just couldn't do it. It wasn't that she was afraid, but she felt that there was something there. She'd also led a very promiscuous life. She'd financed her drug habits through living from the streets. So she had a very immoral life. And this had taken its toll on her physically as well. She was actually a physical wreck. When we first met her, she was shaking, literally shaking, fearful. She couldn't even cross a street because through her drug habits, she had seen demons. She said she'd seen all sorts of things. She was aware that there was a spiritual world. And she was full of fears, very much like the pagans when the first Christian missionaries went out to the heathen. This was Veronica, as we met her, full of fears, anxious, afraid to die, certain that she couldn't die, and yet not knowing where she could go. Stenick spoke to her at the beginning for a very long time, and we just calmed her down and assured her that there was an answer, that there is an answer. And the first thing that we began with was sin, the word sin, that in fact her lifestyle was an offence to God. So we brought to her God's law. And we told her that there is a right and there is a wrong, that there is a creator, that somebody has made her the Lord God. And what she was doing was living in open rebellion against him, although she may not realize it, this was the state. And her reaction was one of great relief. She was so grateful to hear that there is a right and there is a wrong, because she'd realized then, and she told us this later, she realized that what was troubling her was her conscience. And everybody had been telling her, do what feels right. If you feel like doing it, just follow your inner voice, follow your instincts, follow what you feel like doing. And now suddenly she heard, there is a God, and he's telling us what we should do. And what you're doing, according to his word, is wrong. And she'd known this instinctively in her heart, that this was wrong, that something was wrong. She felt uncomfortable about her lifestyle. She had, during her travels, checked herself into 2 psychiatric clinics looking for help. And in fact, they pushed her even further into sin. They hadn't given her help for her soul at all. They'd just given her medication and very human, empty philosophy. So Veronica was greatly relieved to hear that there is a God, and that there is a right, and there is a wrong, and that she was actually living in a very sinful life. She was also very open to hear about Christ and about the gospel, and that her past can be put aside, that Christ makes all things new. So this is a young lady who was actually prepared through all her awful experiences, was actually prepared for the gospel and ready to hear. She was very much like a pilgrim in the Pilgrim's Progress. She had this great burden on her back, and she was looking. She'd left the city of destruction. She didn't want to go back to these people that she'd been with, but she didn't know where. She didn't know where the celestial city was. She didn't know where the wicket gate was. She didn't know about the cross at all. So over a period of time, we were able to tell her the gospel. She had many struggles because she had read a lot of books by people who had these mind-enhancing experiences, and she wondered all sorts of things, but we kept bringing her back to the Word of God. That's all that we had, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We kept coming back to the Scriptures and telling her what God says. And we told her that thy word is truth. This is truth. Whatever you feel, whatever you've experienced, whatever other people tell you, that may or may not be true. This is the test. This is the standard. This is what is true. This is the Word of God. So Veronica, after a period of time, she was solidly converted as she repented of her past and turned to Christ and embraced the gospel. And this young lady, in her own words, she said, I was a very naughty girl. When she was converted, she felt very convicted that she should try and put things right as far as possible. So one of the first things she did was to go around every shop in Liberec, which she'd shoplifted from, which was actually every single shop in the town she'd stolen from. So she went from shop to shop and gave people her testimony. She told them very simply that she'd been wrong to steal from the shop. In fact, she was well known by the police as well. They knew her very well. And she offered to help, she offered to work, she offered to pay in some way. Now, as Stanit was saying, people don't know real Christians. So this was the first time that people have heard that somebody believes in God from not having believed in God, that there's been a change in someone's life. So very often the shop assistants would all gather around and listen to her, give her testimony very simply, telling them that Christ had changed her, that she'd been wrong, that she'd turned away and turned to a new life. Excuse me. She also has a lot of friends, or has a lot of friends, or acquaintances now, who are in the dropouts, in, let's say, on the fringes of society. And she has witnessed to all of these. So these people who would normally not even associate with civilized people, each one of them has heard the gospel. They receive Christian literature. She felt very certain that she should go to her old haunts and meet these people. And often they were having raves in bunkers or in the underground, literally under the ground. And she would go there and the music would stop. And Veronica, who they called the nun, because they only know Catholicism, the nun would speak to them. So she would speak to these young people. Most of them were not able to take very much in. But they all knew that Veronica, something's happened to her. And they can all see it physically. She looks different now. She looks clean. When we met her, she had rings around her eyes, shaved head, studs, shaking. And now she looks a really sweet, innocent young woman. And everyone can see she's been transformed. So we believe that through Veronica, through this one person, maybe she'd be the first of many, as Lydia was the first European Christian. Veronica has a great, strong testimony. And the Lord graciously brought her into contact with us. And through her, we believe that many people will also be reached as well. So we'd like to ask you just to pray for people like Veronica. And we believe that many others will come as well. So thank you very much.
I would like to just to thank you for listening to us and assure you that we would like to continue the work in the Czech Republic, although it's sometimes very discouraging and hard. I would like to mention my baptismal verse, which is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. I would like to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 58, the last verse in that 16th chapter. It must have been a leading of God to give me this baptismal verse, because this is a verse which keeps me going in my mission work. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I would like to thank you for your attention. I would very much value your prayers for my work, for our work, and for our family, and for Veronica also. Thank you.